to college seniors out there. Are the thousands of dollars you may have in debt now worth it? A new study from Georgetown University says yes, in general, bachelor degrees do pay off. But our next guest says maybe not. Peter Thiel co-founded PayPal. Now he's using some of his personal wealth to pay selected college students to drop out of school, at least temporarily, and start their own companies. He has his critics. Slate calls his plan an appalling plan. And there are also critics of his approach to business. Remember in the film The Social Network, writer Aaron Sorkin had the college students who created Facebook say of the Thiel character, "We're in the offices of a guy whose hero is Gordon Gekko." We're going to get to his role in Facebook, but first to his Thiel Foundation. Dropping out certainly worked for, Bill Gates or Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, but is it right for everyone? Peter Thiel joins us from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Robin, thanks a lot for having me on the show.
And, you know, this has a whiff of sort of, geek's revenge, you know, sort of a thumbing of the nose, if you will, to higher education. And yet then we read that you got a BA at Stanford, you went to law school, and Forbes has you on the list of the 100 richest Americans. So aren't you an example of why kids should stay in college?
I went to Stanford and Stanford Law, and I did well, and I might still do that again if I had to do it over, even though it's gotten a lot more expensive than it was 25 years ago. I think that our universities and colleges are very good at picking people who are talented, who have better grades, and so it is not surprising that people with college degrees end up doing better than people who do not have college degrees. The causal question is how much of it is caused by college versus how much of it is just a selection type effect that's going on.
You're saying it might happen anyway for these some of these young people who are successful.
I suspect a lot of it would happen anyway. And again, I would also say that, you know, there certainly are very high profile examples of people who stopped out of college, like Gates or Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs. And in some ways, our goal is not for people to drop out or get completely off track, but to take 2 years off, to stop out of college, to work on a technological project that they think is important, that they're passionate about, and then they might also go back to college if it doesn't work out. So I think it's dropping out always has the connotation that you're not doing anything instead. And what we're trying to encourage people is to do more than they would otherwise be doing, not less.
So it's more, it could possibly be a pause button. But let's learn a little bit more about your Thiel Fellowship, through which you're going to pay 24 students $100,000. Is that for 2 years?
It's $50,000 a year each, so $100,000 total over 2 years.
Okay.
It's a modest stipend, but people will have the freedom to do pretty much anything they like. We ideally like people to work on the technology side. We targeted a younger demographic for this because we think it is often when people are 18 or 19 years old that they're making these decisions about what they're going to be doing with their lives. As you pointed out, I did go to college. If I had to do it over again, one thing I would do differently is think really hard about how this sort of fit into what I thought a good plan for my life would be. And instead, education was a substitute for thinking about your life. It was, what do you do your senior year in high school? Don't know, I'll go to college. And I think thinking really hard about where you're going and where you would like to go is worth doing a lot, and not simply having it be defaulted by what people tell you you should do.
Well, let's find out who some of these young people are. It seems that many of them were already entrepreneurs. Laura Deming started working in a lab when she was 12. She wants to work on age-related issues and, you know, lengthening the lifespan of people. Tom Currier worked in renewable energy when he was 9. James Proud, he also taught himself programming when he was 9, and by his teens, he was building products for Coke and Universal Music. These are some of the 24 students who've, you know, won a Thiel Fellowship. It almost sounds as if you, as an incredibly successful businessman, are almost cherry-picking the future business people of the country who already seem to have their own companies going for them.
First off, it's worth underscoring, we're doing these as a nonprofit grant. We're not actually investing in their businesses.
And by the way, does this mean that if they further develop companies or develop companies on your watch over the next couple of years, will they completely own them?
They would completely own them. I mean, obviously, if they get other people to invest in the companies, they'd have to work that out. But the starting point is they own all the intellectual property they're creating, which would not actually happen if they stayed in school. So if you're building something in college, even if you're an undergraduate, the college actually may own a lot of the intellectual property. And so that's one of the other limitations we have with the existing university system. I think we did pick 24 extraordinary people. You know, they're not, in some sense, average. But I think what all of them have in common is a desire to work and apply some of their knowledge in making this country and our world a better place in the decades ahead. And I think, you know, I've talked a lot about how there's an education bubble where people are too focused on education. They believe this is the be-all and end-all. It's priceless, and therefore you can pay more and more for it every year. And if you say education and credentialing is an absolute good, you will tend to say that work is not as good and that work is just something menial. It's something you do to make a living, but it's not something that you do for its own sake or because you're passionate about something.
You don't call your workplace an ivory tower.
You call it vocational training, which sounds so pejorative, and it sounds like the people who do vocational training are people who wore the dunce hat in junior high school or high school. And so there has been this whole denigration of work that I think is quite problematic, because we're actually, you know, most people will be working for, you know, 30, 40 years, and it's an important thing to see how to make it meaningful. And so even though these are incredibly talented people, they're not academically oriented. Their core is about trying to create new things. And in that sense, you can think of it as a very high-end vocational program that we're starting, even though that's, as soon as people use the word vocational, it just sounds bad. And we have to somehow move away from this thing where either you're in the ivory tower or else you get sent to the coal mines.
Here's a comment that came after an article about you in the Chronicle of Higher Education. It's from Chili 11. And they write, people who have the intelligence, creativity, and drive, as the students profiled here, the winners of your fellowship have, probably don't need a college degree in the same way maybe I do. But I'm wondering, maybe they are the people who do need college. Isn't college also about socializing, learning to get along with people, which in fact some people say Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, didn't have to do because he dropped out? Isn't there something valuable about that, especially for these obviously very, very smart young people?
I think people get socialized in many different ways. I think one way that you get socialized as an entrepreneur that you do not get socialized in college is that a lot of it comes down to teamwork. And I think if I had to sort of give one sort of curricular critique of education, it's intensely competitive. The people who are sitting next to you in your class are really your enemies, whereas I think a healthy socialization is one in which people learn to work in teams, and I think this actually helps on that score.
We're speaking with PayPal co-founder Peter Thiel. He sold that company in 2002 for $1.5 billion. He's been both admired and criticized since. Slate says this fierce libertarian is for an unregulated winner-take-all capitalism. He has expressed affection for the 1920s before welfare recipients and rights for women. And now he's announced his $100,000 scholarships for 24 young people that will drop out of school for 2 years and then try to come up with companies of their own. We're hearing criticism of this. For instance, Bill Aulet, the managing director of MIT's Entrepreneurship Center, says it's one thing to be brilliant and have an idea. It's another to develop a business. He says young people need experience at a well-managed company before they can start their own venture or at least take entrepreneurship courses in business school. So, Peter Thiel, you've heard this criticism and other criticism. We've been referring to the movie The Social Network and founder Mark Zuckerberg. You long supported young entrepreneurs. You were one of the first investors in Facebook. But some people say you also helped drive these young college students against each other. People might remember in the movie when Mark Zuckerberg and one of his student partners, they come to you and, you know, choirs sing because here you are, the guy from PayPal, you're going to invest $500,000 in the company. Let's listen.
We took a look at everything, and congratulations. We're going to start you off with a $500,000 investment. Maurice is going to talk to you about some corporate restructuring.
We'll file as a corporation in Delaware. Come up with a stock structure that allows for new investors.
Now, let me ask you something. Who's Eduardo Saverin?
So, Peter Thiel.
Well, this was a fictional scene. Let's start with that.
We should say Edward Saverin, who was a very sympathetic character in the movie, an early friend and partner of Mark Zuckerberg's, gets kicked out of the company Facebook, and it seems like you're one of the people pushing him.
Well, the movie had an incredible blend of fact and fiction. There were details that were incredibly accurate, and then there were all sorts of other details that were very inaccurate. Savarin was involved in the company, and then, you know, there was a parting of ways. You know, I don't want to say anything bad about him here, although I think Zuckerberg is a phenomenally decent person and has treated everybody with the utmost of respect and in the process of building a great business over the last 7 years. Let me come back to one other thing that you raised earlier, which is I don't think great companies get built by people learning about it in business school. Almost no single tech company was started by an MBA or anything like that. MBAs are good at learning things that have already been done and copying processes. When you start a new tech company, you're typically doing something new. And so many of these great companies were started by people who did not have business credentials, had not taken entrepreneurship classes. You know, entrepreneurship is something you learn by doing. It's not something that's tracked at all. There are many other things that are tracked in our society. You know, if you want to become a professor, you have to get a PhD. If you want to become a doctor, you have to go to medical school. But I think becoming an inventor or entrepreneur or someone where the core of what you're doing is to do something new, that's something that our educational system tends to be unusually bad at.
Well, but what about the question of ethics? I mean, you go online, you can read business professors discussing that scene with you or the character portraying you and what happened to some of Mark Zuckerberg's student partners. And, you know, some are saying it was heartless or it was a necessary side effect of starting a business. Either way, you know, the question remains, are you going to help these young 18, 19, 20-year-olds through those ethical questions of not just how do you have a great idea and how do you get as much money as possible, but how you treat other people as you start a business?
Well, I think those ethical questions are incredibly important. Again, I think the Facebook movie got a lot of things right and a lot of things wrong, and it's a very complicated blend of both. I think great businesses do not get started by people who are simply in it for the money. This is one thing. Zuckerberg was never interested in money. He had many opportunities to sell the company and make enormous amounts of cash, and he was not interested in the money. And,
he was interested in control, which is not a bad thing.
He was interested in creating a new product and pursuing this vision of this socially more networked and more connected world, but it was not about the money thing. And I think the same thing, you know, we don't expect people to be Zuckerberg or Gates or anything like that. But what we do want to underscore with this fellowship program is that it's an opportunity for people to learn a lot. It's an opportunity for people to contribute a lot to the world. If people think this is how they get rich, that's probably not the right way to do it. You may succeed. You may get rich if you do something meaningful, but you shouldn't start by thinking about how you get rich. It's sort of like one of the candidates, Gary Couric, started trying to figure out how to develop mobility aids for physically disabled citizens because his grandmother was weakened by cancer, and he then tried to invent a sort of a combination walker wheelchair that would help her move around but also help her regain her strength. And so, you know, a lot of these companies are motivated by a desire to make the world a better place, to help people around them. And I think good ethics are necessary for good business. We always are aware of examples where that's not the case and where people seem to have gotten away with murder. But from my experience in Silicon Valley, that's very much the exception. And the rule is that it is about creating great relationships within companies, with the customers, and that's how you build a great business.
That's Peter Thiel, founder of PayPal. He sold that company, did quite well, and among the things he's done since is establish the Thiel Fellowship. They've now got their first 24 recipients, college students who will stop out for a couple of years, receive $100,000 for 2 years to pursue their entrepreneurial dreams. Peter, thanks so much for speaking to us about it.
Thanks a lot for having me, Robin.